Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. This is the Prayer Closet, that half hour we take out of each and every day to lift up your needs, cares, and concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893 is the number to call, or you can email or text to prayer@yeshome.com. Either way, let us know what's on your heart today, and we'll lift it up before the Lord on the Prayer Closet. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so don't let that hinder you from getting the prayer that you need. We just want to pray for you today. So God knows who you are. That's what matters. You don't even have to tell us who you are when you call or text in. Just let us know what your need is, and we will pray for you. 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and grace and mercy, for your many blessings that you pour out upon us each day. Lord, we pray that you'll bless our listeners, strengthen and encourage them, that they would be built up in you, that they would be encouraged by you, Lord, that you would move with power and with might in their lives. And Lord, we pray that you will meet their every need out of your goodness and your grace, as we know that you will, because you are a good and gracious Father who gives good things to your children. And Lord, we pray that you will empower us, strengthen us, encourage us through your answers, that we would be built up in faith and give glory to your name. And we do give glory to your name, Lord, because you are indeed worthy. You are deserving of all praise and all glory, and we exalt you this day. We pray that your name be lifted up and exalted in the earth. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Time to get into our Word of God before we get into prayer, as we like to do all the time. Get our hearts set on the Lord before we enter into prayer. And we've been looking at the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is where we are right now. And Paul has been writing to the Thessalonican church. It is a church he founded, but had not been able to really spend much time with them. Normally, he would go in and maybe spend a whole year getting a church built up and established. He was there about a month before he got chased out of town because of the persecution that he was facing. So he really didn't get a chance to ground the church like he did. And so he's writing this letter, one, because he's heard such good reports that even though he was not able to really be with them like he wanted to, the church is still nonetheless growing and flourishing and maturing in the Lord. And so he's just really excited about that and happy for that. And so he writes to them to encourage them and tell them how pleased he is that they're doing well and what an encouragement that is to him, and to encourage them to keep growing, but then also to answer some questions that they had, because, you know, he hadn't been able to get a chance to address them before. And those questions, a lot of them involved what happens when people die. What about the second coming? What about Jesus? And so he spends a lot of time with that. We've looked at chapter 4, talking a little bit about that, the second coming of Christ. So we're going to pick that up in chapter 5. Paul writes, "Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness, so then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." So he writes them about, he just talked about the second coming, what's going to happen, and, you know, how we'll all be caught up to meet Jesus in the air and reunite. It's a wonderful picture. He tells them to encourage each other. But he goes on to say, you know, now about dates and time, we're not writing that stuff. We don't need to write to you. And he kind of gives us this, I'm going to call it a twofold understanding of Christ's return. That it is sudden, but should not be unexpected. We don't know when Christ is coming. Jesus himself said, no man knows the day or the hour, not even the Son, but only the Father. So even Jesus himself did not know. So if the Father did not tell him, he's certainly not telling us. So we don't know the time. Everybody loves to predict. I think as far back as the first one I remember is a little booklet that came out, 88 Reasons for 88. And it was all about why Jesus was going to return in 1988. And it was hot. Everybody was buying this book, reading it. I remember we had a New Year's Eve party, the last day of 1988, because, you know, it was running out of time to get there. So our youth group, we had a rapture party for 1988, December 31st. Jesus didn't come. But that hasn't deterred people, you know, and of course they got around that by saying, well, no, Jesus said no man knows the day or the hour. We're just predicting the year. We're not predicting the day and the hour. But then others, I think probably most famously recently, Harold Camping got out on this and chose. And despite the fact that Jesus said we won't know the day or the hour, they all these guys who make these predictions always seem to find a way around that. I don't know why. Maybe just pay attention to what Jesus said. But there's always these predictions and things like that. And so far, the only thing they all have in common is they're all wrong. God told us, you know, you're not going to know. You're not going to predict. And Paul says here, you know, it's going to come upon. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. People won't be expecting it. They're not going to be looking for it. People are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. You know, the return of Christ will be a surprise. It will certainly be a surprise to the world. They will not be expecting it. They're not going to be looking for it. They're not going to in any way be anticipating it because we just don't know, right? There's a few things that have to happen. We know the gospel needs to be preached in all the world before Christ can return. Some other things have to happen. But after that, you know, Jesus said, you know, the gospel must be preached in all the world and then the Son of Man will return. But it's the way it's written. It doesn't mean that, like, when the last person on earth hears the gospel, boom, Jesus is coming. That's the last thing the last prophetic thing that kind of needs to fall into place before Christ returned. But then after that, you know, he could wait another 50 years, 60, 100, who knows? So in one sense, it's, we just don't know. We just don't know. But then Paul goes on to write to the church. He says, but you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. It's going to come upon the world as a total and absolute surprise, but it should not surprise us. We may not know when it's coming, but we should always be anticipating its coming. You think about the parable that Jesus told of the 10 virgins, you know, and they had the oil lamps and the wicks and stuff. And they're supposed to be waiting, ready, keeping their oil lamps filled up, ready to go when the bridegroom comes to light it up. But they weren't all ready. They knew he was coming, but it took so long that some of them didn't have oil, some needed to get wicks, they weren't ready. That what we see in that parable is this thing that, this example, that they should have been waiting in anticipation for the return of the bridegroom, but the return of the bridegroom surprised them because they didn't know exactly when he was coming back. But they were told he was, and they were told to be ready. So you hold yourself in a perpetual state of readiness. And that's kind of how we need to live. You know, almost every generation of the church has believed it was the last. You know, we hear a lot of talk about how our generation, we're going to be the last. Jesus is coming back. He's come back yesterday. Everybody's, you know, waiting for it. We're not unique in that. Almost every generation of the church has thought it was the last generation, that Jesus was coming back in their year, in their era, in their lifetime. And they've all had reasons to believe that, and they were able to point to Scripture and point to current events and say, see, this is happening, this is happening, and this is this, and this is that. They matched everything up. But, of course, they were wrong, but they also weren't wrong, because I think they were living exactly how they should. We could look back and say, well, you know, they all thought they were going, but they were wrong, but they shouldn't have been guessing. They shouldn't have been doing that. But I think they were doing exactly what they should have been doing, because they were living in anticipation of Christ's return. No, he didn't return in their lifetime, but that's how they were told to live. They were told to live in anticipation of his return. They were told to live expecting him to come at any time. And so they lived that way. So the fact that every generation of the church has thought that it was the last and that Jesus was coming in their time, to me, is not a sign of unfaithfulness, but rather a sign of faithfulness. They were doing exactly what they were supposed to do, living in anticipation of the return of the Lord, not knowing whether they'd see it or not, but always being ready for it. I don't know if Jesus is coming back in our lifetime or not. He might. He might not. But I do know this, we're to live in anticipation. We're not to be like those who are caught when Jesus returns like a thief in the night. You know, a thief comes in, surprises everybody because they're sleeping. They're not awake. They're not alert. They're not watching. But if you're watching for the thief, if you're watching for that person to come into your house, you're not going to be surprised. You're ready for them. And Paul says, that's how we're to be. We're not to be caught surprised. We're not to be caught unaware. Jesus coming in like a thief in the night, rather, we're to be living in anticipation of his return. No, we don't know the date and the hour, but we know the promise. Jesus has said, I am coming back. So Paul says, be alert, be self-controlled, be ready, be living like he could come back at any time. What do you want to find him to find you doing when he returns? You know, I don't want to be caught in sin or doing something wrong. Hopefully when he returns, he finds us living the lives we're supposed to be living, doing what we're supposed to be doing. It'd be great if he came back on our Bible study night. That'd look good. Where were you when Christ came back? I was at Bible study. Where were you? I was in the shower. A little embarrassing. Because somebody's going to be caught in the shower. You know that's going to happen, right? When Christ returns, somebody's going to be on the toilet. Somebody's going to be caught in the shower. There's no way around it. It's going to be a bad moment. That's not where you want to be when Christ returns. Shooting up in the air, trying to pull your pants up. Nope. So we don't know the day or the hour. And some of us will be caught and, you know, some of us will be sleeping. Some of us will be working. Some of us will be in the shower. Some of us will be eating dinner. But all of us should be living in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And we should be caught when he returns, living faithfully, anticipating his return, not dreading it. Not like when a parent walks into the kid's room and, you know, the kid throws something under the covers, or, you know, he's looking at something he shouldn't be doing or whatever and trying to hide it real quick. We don't want Jesus finding us like that. So Paul says, be alert, be self-controlled, know that Christ is coming back at any time. We're not going to write to you about dates and times because we don't know. Here's what we do know. He's promised to come back and he told us to be ready for him. And so that's what we need to do. So that when he returns, we are ready. We're doing the things we're supposed to be doing. We're living the way we're supposed to be living. Living in anticipation of his coming. Doing the work he gave us to do. Being faithful in our lives. So that we won't have any reason to be ashamed. You know, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and living how we're supposed to be living, you know, we don't need to worry about the return of Christ when it's happening, when it's coming. We'll just rejoice in it. We'll celebrate it. The ones who need to worry are those who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Not living the way they're supposed to live. Those are the ones who have something to fear, but we don't. Because he's not coming like a thief in the night for us. He's coming like an expected Savior to a people who are rejoicing in his coming. So let's live in holy anticipation of his return. Not knowing the day, not knowing the hour, but knowing he's promised to come. And whether he comes in our lifetime or not, we're going to live in anxious anticipation of his coming. Thanks so much for tuning into the Prayer Closet. If you have a prayer request, remember you can always get that to us by, well, a couple of ways. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., you can call our office, 419-389-0893, and there'll be somebody here happy to pray with you. You can email or text us at prayer@yeshome.com and get your request to us anytime that way. Or you can go online to our website, yeshome.com, click on the chat now button, and you'll be connected to a live online spiritual coach for live online chat session. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. God bless. Have a great day.